Hello, I am Issa Wellen, and this is Issa Wellen Writes Stories for Adults. And we're back. We're back. Secret, you can call in. My guest is Secret Sub 57 from Twitter. She is a poetry writer, and I'm going to share this out on the Twitter. And yeah, here I go. I'm in the mood for some poetry now. Tom got me in the mood. Hello.
Hi, is this working okay?
It's working wonderful. How are you?
Wonderful. I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing really nice. Thank you for coming in early. I wasn't sure Tom would, you know, that I'd have anybody for the open chat. And so, wow, you got to hear a little bit about what's happening at the magazine, at Indulgent Desires.
Yeah, and I love Shelley. She's madness personified.
Are you? It was a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. So
I did take slight issue with Tom not having tea.
I know, poor, you know, Tom, what's the problem? Just coffee? He says he likes tea. Why doesn't he have tea?
I know, I'm going to fly the flag for being British a bit and tell you I'm on my third cup since you started this morning.
How do you like your tea? How do you take your tea?
Oh, quite milky, which is probably going to gain me a few hisses from people that like it. Builders with a cup of tea standing, a cup spoon standing up in a cup of tea. But
they like their tea strong. And do you just have what kind of tea? Do you just have is there a special kind that you like in the morning? Or
it depends if I'm treating myself. If I'm treating myself, then I'll get the teapot out and the proper loose tea, and there's a blend called Himalayan Gold, which is just lovely. But that's my treat tea, because realistically I couldn't do that every time I wanted a cup, or I'd just permanently attach to a teapot.
Oh, so Brandon would like to know what part of Britain are you from? Where's your accent?
Well, I'm not London.
You're not London.
I am Southern though. I'm not London.
You're Southern, but not London. So you write on, I'm just going to introduce you. I did a little bit, but I'm going to do it again. You write on Twitter. You write all kinds of, you know, you write poetry. You write kind of all kind. How did that start? How did the writing on Twitter happen? Because you don't just, you know, tweet little philosophy things. It's very erotic and romantic. And, you know, how did that What inspired you to start writing, become a Twitter poet?
I landed in our little lovely dark and deviant corner of Twitter. And as I kind of started tweeting, I started putting up a few little small quotes. And then I've always loved poetry and I've always written poetry, but maybe not had the confidence to put it out there that much. And then people seem to like it.
Yes. So,
rather surprisingly. So I just kind of kept going, and it's developed from there. And I absolutely love doing it. I think what helps is I do it for me as much as anyone else. Mm-hmm. In that I'm not trying to do it for anybody. I'm doing it because I like writing poetry and it makes me happy.
My poetry account was, it basically started almost a journal, an online, because I'd always used to journal my poetry whenever I was writing it. That's where it ended up. It's not like I was doing it for anybody. It was always for myself. Yeah. And it always it always had an intimate feel because I was always trying to get as much motion or color or texture or whatever into it that I possibly could get into a bunch of words. And so so it always had that personal feel. in that sharing your intimate stuff publicly, how has that have you ever challenged yourself or confronted yourself with kind of, okay, I'm going to be a little bit more honest about this subject, or I'm going to be a little bit more daring and sexy about this subject? Or, I mean, have you used Twitter kind of almost, I've used it a little bit sometimes as a sounding board, because I've never had, because I was writing it in a journal that was closed, I'd never had any kind of feedback and didn't really know, even though it was personal, I didn't know what it brought. Would other people get it and feel what I felt?
Is basically, yeah, no, I think you're right. I think in real life, I probably write generally kind of funnier little poems. I'll often do things about people I know and try and get things that I know about them, or that almost like a kind of caricature in poem form. So my more serious stuff and the more personal stuff, I wouldn't really share anybody. So I think the one exception for that, I would say, is when I wrote a poem for someone's funeral who was a close friend, and that was probably the most personal I've got in a poem that I've actually put out in real life. But then when I was on here and I kind of realised people liked what I wrote, and then I realised that the anonymity means I can be a little bit more honest about how I feel and about certain things. Though I would like to point out that not everything comes from me, because I've had people get worried when I've written a really sad poem.
I know,
and it's not always me being sad.
I know, you know, I get that. I almost very rarely don't post anything sad or too moody, or I'm careful the time frame that I post it, because if it's really sad or moody, yeah, all your friends, are you okay? You know? is everything, we're here for you. We're standing with you, know, whatever it is, you know, it's like, oh, you're not alone, or, you know, the sky's going to, whatever it is, they just line up. It's Twitter.
I know. So, and it's really lovely. It's lovely that people care, but occasionally makes me want to put a little kind of note out at the beginning going, this is not how I'm feeling now.
yeah, I'm feeling great now. I just wanted to share this with you and see, you know, what you thought.
I was inspired and I want to write the poem. It's not me in the depths of despair right now in a corner. or equally doing naughty things in the bedroom right at this very moment in time.
Do you, that's what I want to, so the, what are they called? The reply guys or whatever. Do you, have you had interactions with, men on Twitter, or any negative reactions to some of your more sexy pieces, or, how is that working for you? Cause I know that it's a little brave to post some of the sexier stuff, whether you have the reaction or not, just putting it out, knowing everybody's going to see it. It was a little harder for me, some of it, especially when I accompany, add a picture. Some of the pictures, if there are intimate parts in the picture, you know, I debated over that picture for weeks. It was sitting in my saved, you know, and it doesn't matter how many, it's been sitting in my saved, and then I usually purge and I just do all of them at once for me, and then I get them out and then I'm not looking at them and I feel like, okay, that's done, and I can move on to the next thing. But so how has that worked for you, you know, the reply guys? Or
I think I've been quite lucky. Generally speaking, I've only ever had appreciative feedback, and I always try and say thank you if someone puts something underneath, because I think if someone's made the effort to read your work and likes it enough to comment, then, you know, manners says that you should say thank you back. Which I always try and do if I can, even if it's just like in the comment. I think the closest is probably a couple of people that seem to think that because I've put that out, that means I immediately want to have a message from them. But you can normally tell from the tone that their idea of a message is probably a little bit more graphic than a hello. And I don't have my DMs open for that kind of message, so that's fine.
I'm open to talk, but yeah, I'm not open to any kind of pictures. I feel like I can handle any kind of words you throw at me. And if you're rude, I can always block you, but the pictures you just can't prepare for. You just never know what's going to happen. And,
I think sometimes it's sometimes it's a misunderstanding about why you're putting it out there, and I appreciate that because there are a lot of different accounts who do things in different ways.
Yeah.
So like basically if someone comes along and kind of has that kind of comment, then I just tend to ignore it, and normally that works fine. I haven't I've been lucky, I haven't had anything as bad as I know some other people have, so far, touch wood.
I people do get, yeah, it can be, I don't know, I could be, I love talking to people all over the world, and so when and generally it's been people all over the world, you know, guys that come in and say hello. There have been a couple guys from, I don't want to say, there's a certain region in the world that is a little bit more, I don't know, they're just an assumption, has a little bit more. But if I get somebody from England or Ireland or Australia or something, they're a lot more polite. And sometimes they're just, I don't know, they're curious. I asked someone who popped in, I said, what, when you read those, because I want to know how men think.
Good luck.
I know. They're linear thinkers. They're like, they all say, oh, it's really simple. It's not as complicated as you think. And I'm like, no, because I don't really understand. I make the words, and you think my words are very sensual and sensuous, and to me they're very emotional. And what you're getting out of it is different. I'm not trying to trigger you in this way. This is you know. And so if you're coming in here, that means you're in my hot seat, and I get to ask you, why is this, what is this doing for you? Why, you know, how is this working for you?
Yeah. It's difficult, isn't it? Because everyone gets something different from poetry anyway, even ignoring the male, female difference. And I've had people that have read a completely different meaning into a poem I've written than what I meant it as. But I think that's the joy of poetry, in the same way to give art, in that it's different for everyone who reads it. I think what has been lovely is that I've actually made some really good friendships on here through that. Yeah. Ones that I treasure, especially this year with lockdown.
Yes.
I've had more time.
Yeah.
I mean, the advantage for me has been more time to write my poetry, but it's also meant I've met some really amazing people from all over the world, which has been, just lovely.
The meeting the people from all over the world or interacting, you know, sometimes people will disappear or whatever, but you form these great friendships, these great creative kind of collaborations sometimes. And it is a special, unique aspect. I know that some of the more straight poetry has, you know, they have, there's actually rooms. I've never been invited. I'll probably never be invited to a room, but
I'm gonna make one just so I can invite you, darling.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. Yeah. And there's whole communities where people are, but we have our own, and it's right out there. It's sexy as hell, and it's right out there for everybody to see, you know.
But it's lovely, and I think it's actually friendlier. I have to say, this corner of Twitter is just, it's a wonderful thing. I mean, don't get me wrong, everywhere has those that are not so great, but you know, that generally everyone's really comforting and welcoming and friendly and happy to accept everything, really, which is great. Everyone's so open-minded.
You can put out, you can be, you can take whatever kink or fantasy or idea and play with your words and share it with and you're right. There's sometimes there'll be no feedback, but that could be just Twitter algorithm, actually, you know, you know, but everybody is, I've never had anybody say that's, you know, a negative thing. There's never been a negative thing.
No. And I think you're right about the algorithms, because sometimes you put something out at a certain time of day that you think's absolutely awesome and two people like it. And then you put out something that you've dashed off in a couple of minutes that you think is okay, and 40 people like it. It's gonna be very random.
Yeah, you'll be like, I'm not, why are they, I didn't even, you know.
And know. I didn't even like that one that much. How was everyone loving that one? But this one, I spent hours over. Why?
I was agonizing over this one, and I really thought everybody would just see. So yeah, no, I get that.
I mean, I know I shouldn't. I should be sat there going, why aren't you liking it? But sometimes when you put a lot of effort into it and it's very personal, you'd like at least one person to say, yes, no, well done, that was good.
Yeah, you just casually retweet those or repost those and delete the old one, you know. I'm like, you missed this one. Here, you know, here, look at this one.
No, I mean, I'm quite lucky. I do write a lot of mine quite quickly, actually.
Yeah.
Which is good.
Yeah, that is so you've always been writing it was positive, and then you came to Twitter and you've interacted. What has been some of your, I don't know, if you could take a female poetry writer under your wing, a naughty poet, because it is a little bit erotic, and you're right, the erotic community in general, I have noticed, has been the most accepting of and willing to share and encourage and lift up out of probably any community. They don't post and go, they hang around, they talk, you know, they
It's lovely. It's a really good place to be.
There's, you know, there's some, I don't know what you would call it, there's this whole other kind of Twitter community that's a little bit more, I don't know. They do the snark. Well, no, they do the snarky couplets, you know, and then in the replies, and you know, there's something else I came across is it was just in a general feed where a woman was, she was replying to some guys, and other women were kind of attacking her for replying to the wrong guy because he apparently was somebody's Twitter crush, and I'm like, I'm all over erotic.
Really? You know?
Yeah. Okay. So. Yeah. Okay. Honestly, you get it then, right? Ridiculous. Because I don't know, out of all the people we know and the men and that we write with and the women that we write with and the back and forth and some of the back and forth of the writing and how sensual that gets and the kind of fun encouragement or flirty, you know, when you post a picture or whatever, I've never seen that. And so when I saw that, I had to ask around, does that really happen? Because
why would you judge some? Oh yeah, I find that quite mind-boggling, to be honest. Because, you know, it's not our, and this is why I like our corner of Twitter, to be honest, it's not our place to put people down. You know, we should be lifting each other up.
Exactly.
And if someone, you know, like you were saying about poetry, you know, a lot of why I carried on doing what I was doing is because people were kind enough to retweet it and tell me what they thought, which gave me the confidence to do it. And I do think that, you know, and I try and do the same as well, because I think it's important to, but also I like telling people if something's reached me or made me think about things. I think it's important, and it's important to do that. And especially, I just think with the world the way it is now, I don't think we should ever be in a position where you're knocking other people.
Exactly. There's just no kindness is, oh, who did I talk to? It was one of my first interviews. It was Kate. Kate, she writes on me. I can't remember. She might be a secret too. But Kate was talking about, she was talking about respect and how respect takes a little bit more effort. Respect, the difference between respect and kindness, it takes a little bit more effort, but it spreads a little bit farther. There was just something in our conversation about being respectful of other people's kinks and words and this, that, and the other thing that she treated, because she wrote all kinds of, is it Sleepless? It might be a Sleepless and Insomnia.
Yeah, Sleepless with the foot fetish.
Yes, it's Sleepless. So yeah, and so it was talking with Kate, and we were talking about that, and I think that's some of it. There's just, through the whole erotic community, there's just that core of respect of, you respect my thing, this is your thing, I have great respect for you, it doesn't really matter what it was, and Yeah,
my I think we're all on here for our own reasons, aren't we?
Exactly.
And you don't know what's happening in people's real lives and their situations. And I think, you know, a casual word, even if you don't mean it, can really hit home for people.
Yes.
Which is where the respect and the kindness comes in. You know, you don't know how people are feeling.
It's true. I got to tell you, my friend, Reggie's in the chat. He's six sheets red. They have a BDSM podcast where they just kind of get together and they chat about different topics and kind of cover a little bit of the history and a little bit of their experience and a little bit of that. They just did one on water sports, you know, they handled it with such a kink friendly humor, really positive, you know, kind of viewpoint that I'd never, for me, having kids, any kind of, no, okay, so there you go. You're laughing, you're understanding the connection. And so I never, making that leap to a sensual thing or to having it be a connective thing or whatever was impossible because I just spent too much time dealing with the whole other side of that. And their conversation about it was just so fun and so kink positive. It helped me. I'm like, wow, it helped me see. I have some hangups here, but they don't. And listening to them, it's just like, some of the aspect of the erotica touches on different writers, like a little bit more degradation and humiliation. And I couldn't get my head wrapped around that. But I had some conversations with some people who do it really well. And they talked. And
it does very much depend on people's dynamics and their own kinks. And I think
exactly
what works for one person or one couple or more than two, depending on, you know, where you are. It's very much their dynamic and no one should ever try and tell you what your dynamic should be.
Yes.
You know, no one's got the right to for a start. But I think the more that things like this happen, the more podcasts there are, the more people are open about things, the more tolerant people get. I mean, I agree with you, water sports, not really my thing, but I know some people that do find it their thing. So go for it, you know.
Yeah. And it helped me to have I always talk about how stories are communication. So having them tell their personal stories became a communication to me. Say, you know, a new viewpoint that like, oh, okay, that's not my thing, but I can see now how there can be something erotic in that. I can see now, and that helped me. And I get that so much from some of the poetry and some of the pictures when you post your picture with your poetry and the some of the stuff that's a stretch for me, like woman with woman or multiples, you know, a big group, that's a stretch for me. That's they're just some negative images from my childhood that just I immediately go there. And they're not experience, they're just visual images. And
yeah, but that can affect you. And I think that's where the be kind thing comes in, because
you
don't always necessarily understand a particular kink. It's often because of something that's happened or something they've seen or read or the way they've been raised. And you know, I think people deserve understanding on both ways. So,
yeah. And so just, do you feel like it, I mean, the dirty Twitter has not safe for work. Has it helped you grow in that way or were you already there?
I think it's helped me in that possibly I've been more honest in a lot of my poems about how I feel about things. I've definitely been, just because I'm really bad, it sounds like I'm on X Factor or something, I've been on a journey the last couple of years trying to deal with some things, and this has been a massive part of that. But I think the more important thing is it's given me a safe space to be open. And that means not just about the sexy stuff, because obviously I do write quite a lot of that, but also the stuff when I've written about how I feel inside or how sometimes it feels like I'm screaming and no one can hear me, that kind of thing as well, because that's being very open and laying it all out there, as it were. And being really honest with people who could turn around and go, well, what are you moaning about? You know, I think it's made me a better person for it, I think.
Yes, yes, I do too. I have, there's been a lot that has challenged me, has helped me find the, mostly where I had judgments and didn't realize I was judging, or where something made me uncomfortable and confronted me and I couldn't figure out, I knew it was confronting to me, but I couldn't tell you why. And so I have a friend too, that when I hit something up with that, he'll, okay, so then now I want you to write a poem about it. And I want you to write it from, you know, a different perspective and be honest. And sometimes those are really hard, but it's helped me work through things, you know, that I dig a little deeper. Words help me anyways. And so yeah. Other people's words, and then sharing my
So I would say probably words are what art is for someone else, or for sport is for someone else. We all have our ways of dealing with what we're feeling and kind of manifesting that. And for me, poetry has become, especially this year, such a massive way of dealing with a lot of different things. And I think obviously the same. Or sometimes I'll take inspiration for what someone else has said as well, you know, and how someone else has been feeling. Not naming them, obviously.
But, yes.
You know, to explore how people feel, because I think the great thing about it, like I said earlier, is that different people take different things. And if I can read one of your poems and it means one thing to me, even if you didn't mean it that way, it doesn't matter. It's still important, because it still touched me and made me think.
Yes, it's true. And that having, being able to do that with poetry is, I've had people say, oh, it's not very good. And I'm like, you have followers, you have people who interact with your words. So it's poetry is very, subjective. It doesn't, not all poems, it's like art. It is art. It's not everything is going to touch every person. And some will resonate more. And so quit being so self-critical. People like what you do. Keep putting it out there, you know?
Yeah, but it's actually, like I said, it's putting it out there because you want to.
Yes.
Accepting that maybe not everyone's going to like what you write, and that's fine, because, you know, you don't have to. But I think if you can put it out there because you are very passionate about what you're writing, that you want to kind of share that, even if you are only sharing it with three people at midnight that happened to read it after a glass of wine and thought, you know, which hopefully there's more than three and they'd have to be drunk to like my poetry, but you never know. But I do think there's that thing of a big portion of that has to be for you. I do like the fact that I can put something out there that someone finds moving, or someone finds helps them, or that someone feels recognized.
Yes.
And at the risk of kind of making it about a woman thing, I do think sometimes there is a thing about self-image and self-esteem. I'm writing from a woman's perspective, so this is not saying that men don't feel that at all, but and some of my stuff has been about that, and that's had a real kind of emotive reaction with some people.
Yes, I write about that quite a lot, so I totally know what you're saying, you know.
And that's when you feel recognized, and I think if it helps to know that someone else feels that way, and you're not generally going to go out on your Twitter, so certainly not our corner of it, and go, I'm feeling really rubbish today because blah, 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 blah. But if you can read a poem that someone's written and go, oh my God, she feels that way too.
yeah. It's very much, very, yes. Yes.
No one really does that. Oh, I'm feeling so down. So that everyone can go, what's up, hun? Like they do on Facebook, which drives me insane.
Yeah.
No,
you'll get a retweet that'll be like, oh, I feel this too, or oh my gosh, this is just me exactly, or I've been there, you know, kind of thing. And and those ones have been some of the ones that I thought were my own self-conflicting ones, that I didn't think anybody, when somebody connected with me on those, you know, another woman, I was like, wow, okay, I'm not the only one. You know, I'm not the only one going to these places in my head. And that is, it is, it's very, okay, I'm not alone. This is a normal thing.
It's very cathartic to know sometimes, I think, especially, I mean, I've just said that I don't always write my sad poems when I'm sad, and I really don't. But, you know, they all come from a place that I felt. And I think sometimes if you have been in a position where life seems so overwhelming, and I think we've probably all been there this year, and everything, you know, everything's kind of in the way of you finding a way to work that off. So for me, I love swimming. And when we're in lockdown, I can't swim, which I find difficult. So, you know, that's my way of releasing. So I think if you've had all that thing blocked and you're feeling really overwhelmed and life's just getting in the way, you can get to quite a low place, even if it's only for an hour or you know, a night or whatever. And sometimes putting it out there and knowing that someone else goes, oh, yeah, no, I'm feeling that way too. Because you feel very alone when you go very low in your thoughts.
Yeah.
And,
you
know, having someone else there going, oh, do you know what? I know it's bad at the moment, but it'll pass and tomorrow will be better. And, you know, that kind of thing can be really helpful.
And it's the same kind of for me for some of the sensual stuff, because my background is a little bit, I don't want to say repressed, but I will say self-controlled. it took a while for, and that's probably a lot of the algorithm, for my poetry to, for me be able to get in women to engage it with it. It took a while for it to get to the point where more women were seeing it with it and responding to it than the guys. And once the women, I felt very validated when I started getting response from other women, and I was writing really intensely erotic stuff that kind of went in that direction for me. I felt very, okay, you know, this thing that I enjoy, other women find that hot too. And I don't know, it just felt validating and made,
I think, validated, no offense to the men, but I think sometimes the women need to go below the surface a little bit more.
Yeah.
And I think that's why women don't connect as quickly. It's just the way brains are wired. Having said that, it's not always true. But, you know, I agree. You generally get more men that like it to start with, I think.
I definitely did. And that was when I was posting for myself. And a lot of my stuff was really, most of my stuff is vague, and it was really vague, but men were still reading things in, you know, I say the word pink, and suddenly a whole poem becomes really intensely sensual. And I'm like, well, yeah, that's kind of where I was leaning, but that was just a description. I wasn't trying to go into, I didn't get the power that you seem to be getting. How is that working for you?
I think it's difficult, isn't it? Because I think where people read different things into it,
they do. But I'm also, I got to tell you, I'm also, I had this image of men, maybe I've been married for a long time, and I had an image of men being more blunt and less subtle. But man, if you put, they pick up on those subtle cues wave in words, because I thought they were all visual. And when I wasn't doing any, you know, they really do.
But I think sometimes, I mean, sorry to say this, but 50 Shades of Grey. I know it's a swear word. I hate it.
I know.
So badly written. I can't stand it. But women suddenly did become more able to be open about things. That is the one thing that did work for women, I think. But sometimes they're still embarrassed to be seen to like erotic stuff and be open about it.
I've talked about that a couple times today, you know, the how wonderful a Kindle is, because, you know, you can read your erotic books and nobody knows now. There's no cover to identify it or no title to identify it, that you're able to, you know, hide, keep that private. And I think you're right that women do tend to, they're a little bit more careful with that, and when it comes to engaging with it. And then once you're all friends, it's like, okay, you know, we're supporting each other now, and we're like,
you know, it is about being more open about it. And I think people have got better. I will say, because it is funny, I was doing an interview with the school in a library, and because I work in a library, so I was stood there and being interviewed by, they were probably, I would say, 8 or 9 year olds, something like that. Uh-huh. And they used to ask me weird and wonderful questions, including how big is the library in meters? And I would think, I really don't know. But then one child piped up and quite honestly, I went, oh, yes, you. And she went, yeah. Have you read 50 Shades of Grey?
Oh, my goodness.
In front of all the adults and the children. I kind of stood there and went, okay. And I thought, you know what, I'm just going to be honest. So I just turned around to her and said, yes, I have, but it's very badly written and I prefer the Gruffalo.
Oh, good for you, because I never read it. I couldn't get past the first page. I opened it up and the writing hit me and I'm like, oh, are you kidding me? I was offended for every writer, quality writer everywhere.
And also not that kinky. I mean, he just repeated itself several times along. I was getting quite bored by the end.
Yeah, and then all the things with it came out and I'm like, I'm not surprised because, you know, it was, I'm not, yeah, a 10-year-old. Well, it was kind of written at a third grade level. It's not, it's even bad. Yeah, The Gruffalo is much better. I actually love that book.
The Gruffalo is an awesome book. It's so much better than 50 Shades of Grey.
And I like the Gruffalo. And then what's the donkey one? The honky donkey or the, it's new, but it's donkey. What is it? Yeah, the rhyme book that is fantastic. And then they're, the hat. There are a couple that are more English than American that have come out. I love kids' books.
The Gruffalo I know off by heart. I've just seen that Tom said he reads it very well. Then we should probably read that one together because I love the Gruffalo. I love any book, but I struggled with that one. I always try and make it a rule that I try and finish books that I read.
Oh.
I couldn't. I really struggled so badly.
But if it made
women feel more comfortable and more open about things,
I think
that's better.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Which is, I mean, that's a good point in its favor. I can't deny that, but I have
to point in its favor. I'm well, way apart from Jamie Dornan, but there you go.
I'm way too much of a writing snob. I had the same problem with Twilight, actually. When it came out, I'm like, is this going to be a thing? Is this kind of writing a thing now? Because no.
But I think what's sad about it, though, is that it got so much publicity and I've read so much other, because that makes me sound like I'm devouring it. I've read so much other erotica and erotic literature that is so well written.
I know.
And the characters are developed so well. And I could sit there and just read a whole series and you just think, wow, that's proper, proper erotic literature.
I know.
And they just don't get the recognition they deserve. And that's...
Yes, yeah, I was offended for writers everywhere.
Yeah,
it's like this is just so wrong. Okay. Who, you know, the market works in mysterious ways. So,
well, like a lot of things, isn't it? It captures the imagination of a time. So
it does. I know you brought some. You did bring some things to read. Yes, did I ask you to read?
You did. You said you were going to pick a couple, but I did pick a couple as well. So,
oh, good. I would love for you to read. Yes.
Okay. Do you have? Well, it depends what people want me to read, really. I'm just going to find.
I think I put them in a document. Where did I put them?
Let me find the ones I was actually quite organized. I did bookmark them, but then I had a bit of an issue with my computer this morning, so. Well, I've got a couple that someone asked me to read, actually. So,
oh, there you go.
I know I've written far too much. That's the problem.
No,
you got to find the ones that I really like.
Yeah, finding what you like is.
Well, obviously, I like all of them, but you know. Which one to read? Okay. Oh, do you know what? I think I put it at the bottom. That'd be about right, wouldn't it? Okay. There we are. Okay, well, someone asked me to read this one, so. Okay. He watches as she dances, singing slightly off key, memorizing every second as she makes the tea. Wearing his shirt as the day starts, he stands there as she dances into his heart.
I love your poetry.
Okay, let's see what else. Okay, I'll read that one then. It feels a bit weird reading these out loud like this. Shall I read to you? Speak out loud the words of desire that are scribed across these pages. Drop syllables of heat as you watch me squirm and move, knowing that I need you to play out every dirty thought captured between these covers until we write a story of our own.
Oh, yeah. I like that one. Do you ever find the writing within the scope of the
word limit?
Do you ever find it a little confronting?
It is. And I haven't yet done a poem that's gone over two tweets. But what it does do is it does make me really focus on my editing, and it makes the poems better.
Yes.
I think if I ever got to a point where I desperately needed to say more, then I would go over the two tweets. But it does mean that I do get rid of any, you know, extraneous words that I don't need. So it's quite good.
It does help quite a bit sometimes for me. Sometimes I feel like I get shorted words.
Sometimes, especially since I try and put, you know, SS257 at the bottom of every one. Just put on there that it's there. That takes up characters and it's very annoying. So, you know, sometimes you look at that going, can I take the out right now? What do you need in there? Who needs
that? That's very much. and or can I just do a T and a slash? Will people still know? Can I?
I know, I'm sure. But then there's that, there's the pedant in me that looks at it and goes, no.
Yeah, it doesn't look good anymore. And so you lose a little bit. Yeah, no, I completely.
It is, or you know, do I shorten it and put a UR instead of a UR, or do I put an AND symbol? You know, but I can't do text speak either. I'm really rubbish. I'm too pedantic about these things. So it's my own fault, really.
Has there ever been a subject that? Okay, I'll just preface it with this. Stefan had posted a picture of, it was a black and white picture of, I think it was of a cock, and it might have even been his cock because he doesn't have a lot of male models. But the picture was, there was a woman in it or not, but I really liked the mood of the picture. It really struck me. And it was one of those that I saved it, bookmarked it. And I'm kind of upset. I'm like, I want to write about this, but I'm kind of, boy, it's going to change my whole feed. It's going to change my, I just feel it's going to change my, if I start posting, like it was really, you know, I told you I was a little bit repressed. So do you ever challenge yourself to go in places like that? Because, is it just easy for you?
I don't think it's too hard. I'm quite open about things. I think sometimes there are things that I know I want to write about that take me a while to get my head around. I think the very personal ones, sometimes I can sit there and try and R whether to put or not. And potentially things that maybe are more memory based, which are very personal to me. I mean, the fact that nobody knows which ones are completely personal, which ones aren't, are neither here nor there, right? So that possibly more than anything else, you know, putting out something that I've experienced and thinking, you know, I'm putting out kind of my own life out there, but. You know, no one knows that apart from me.
I mean, they don't know which you've done and which you haven't done.
Exactly.
a lot of my journey is I'm 51, and there are some experiences sensually and sexually that I thought I would get that I didn't get. Mm-hmm. And so as I write, or a lot of times when I write, I'm writing about those experiences that you know, I've read about them, or people are like, I'm really surprised you've not, no, I'm not, I've never, yeah, my life is so vanilla, you can't even imagine. And so I never even, as far as the BDSM, I'd never met anybody you could call a real dominant male until I started, you know, interacting.
But you've met a few now.
Yeah, I never got, Lord forbid, somebody that would identify that way. I can't even imagine. Yes, I've met a few now. Quite a few, actually. They're, you know, I think that maybe they're, yeah, anyways. You just assume I'm just all submissive and everything for my poetry. And yeah, maybe I am, but not for you. So, you know, there are things that I want to experience or have envisioned. And so some of that, that's where a lot of my words come from is, yeah, they're mine. Yeah, it's my heart. But as far as experiencing them,
but that's the joy of poetry though, isn't it? Is some of it is your experience, but some of it isn't. You know, I mean, I could write about, you know, going mountain climbing and not what I've ever particularly wanted to do, but I could write about it. You know, it's one of the joys of being able to experience the world through your words, isn't it? Just in the same way,
yes,
or photography, yes, or anything like that.
That's been the great thing about being able to write for with Shelley and Stefan, writing for them as a couple.
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah, it's been so fun because they're together and you know, I see all the romance in this, and oh man, and yeah, there's just been I've been able to live a little bit vicariously through their sweet relationship. Well, I think I've written one spanking poem, but
I think I might have written more than one. There you go.
Well, I've written a few threads to be different things, but yeah, it's one of those things I'm like, we're still exploring that. I'm still in my head. Okay, I've sent you some poems too.
Okay.
They're on Twitter, so
okay, thank you. Okay.
Twitter.
Okay. I'll work backwards. I'll go from the last one you sent me. Okay. There are days you feel different, unsure of why or what, just quietly aware that you feel odd, restless, until you hear that voice and everything inside you stills.
Beautiful.
I just like that one.
I should, I need to retweet it.
Okay. Okay. She took the wishes of her heart and wrapped them in the gossamer threads of her dreams, tied them with her soul's desire, knelt before him and gave her offering to his waiting hands for him to keep with his own.
Some of your poetry is just so evocatively romantic. And I'm like,
what? I was going to say, I was pretty romantic about them. Okay. I'm actually, this morning, okay, I'll do this one. Kneeling, she told him with words unspoken. He owned all of her, even that which was broken. The good and the ugly, the happy and sad. She gave him her thoughts, the dreams that she had. He took what she gave and held it with care. Kept safe in his soul, so she'd always be there.
Yeah, I like that one. Gorgeous. You could, you know, post little audio clips with your everybody's like, you know, with the iPhone, or there are other ways to do them, but yeah, little audio clips. Okay. I've had some success with that. You know, sometimes people listen, sometimes they don't. I don't know, but you know, the accents, everybody's always like,
oh. Yeah, no, I must admit,
it's normal for you, but we're all like, oh man, that's the sexiest thing ever.
All right, there's one more. Do you mind if I read one more that a friend asked?
Oh no, please do.
Okay. With each kiss, each touch, I fall deeper, captivated by your eyes and your smile. Your words weave magic until I'm bewitched, caught by the spell that is you.
That's lovely.
Oh, thanks, guys. I'm just reading. I don't think my voice is that great.
You read really well. Sometimes people are like, I'm terrible. I can't, you know, and it can be a thing. So I can't, you know, complain about that. But I always think it's neat when writers read their own work. It's a unique skill to be able to do that and share.
It's a funny thing. I don't mind doing it this way. I think what I am very bad about actually is I can stand up in front of a crowd of people in work or various things. But if someone's asked me to stand up and read a poem that I've written for somebody, a table full of people, I can't do it. I just can't do it. And I don't know why. I stand up and I kind of do that thing where you get all blushy and kind of, no. You read it. Someone else read it. That's fine.
You're talking about writing poetry for somebody. It was Tom's birthday and he was having a birthday, but he was also having a kind of a hard day. And I wrote him a poem about, I'm like, I don't remember why he gave me this, but it was the Galapagos Islands. And so I wrote it. It was a little bit silly because, you know, there are blue-footed boobies in the Galapagos Islands. So
that just lends itself to a poem, doesn't it?
I know. It just did. It was in... And poor Tom, you know, he had heard about the boobies and he went to the island expecting to see boobies and he was waiting to see the boobies, but there were boobies, just but birds. Not boobies.
It's a sad life.
But the island was beautiful and he got to see the turtles and this, that, the other thing. And so
I love writing poetry for people or about people, because I think when you can take those kind of best things about someone or their little quirks or idiosyncrasies or anything like that and turn it into a poem, I love doing it. I absolutely love doing it for people. So what I have, and I haven't done that obviously so much on here, but what I have done is written for people that have inspired me. Three people that I actually came out right and said these were for these people, and I actually told them and I said, you know, do you mind if I put that out there? But generally these days it's more kind of an inspiration from a conversation or something. But I do like it. And I think there's something very lovely about a poem that's written personally for someone. And I'm sure Tom loved it. So
I've done it a couple times, written something sometimes. Usually it'll be a selfie or something, and there'll be something in that selfie that'll just, I'll just, you know, I may not even know the person, but it'll be very striking. And it'll be like any other kind of picture. I'll just be moved to write for that, for it. In fact, there was a woman who, and she had this fantastic pose and it was her. And I'm like, so I DM'd her, can I write for this? And the one thing that I love is that a lot of times when the erotic and the love poetry, it translates through cultures and languages. I have written back and forth, you know, with like from, you know, Seven was from South Africa, but there's another man who also he's a younger guy. He's married and he's from South Africa. And he has never, you know, we were just writing this poetry back and forth. It was very, very steamy. And, but we connected it, you know, you get that connection sometimes. And I love that the words, when you do that, that the translation is universal.
Yeah, no, I think that's one of the lovely things about poetry though, isn't it? Poetry and art, photography and all these wonderful things is that you can speak to someone even with a language barrier or language difference.
Yeah, and
it makes it very special.
It does. It's an amazing thing to me that these things can come together, all the cultures or whatever, all the world things that are coming out, but we can sit and we can exchange this poetry and have it mean about the same thing. And
it makes everything brighter, I think. I think if you can sit there and read a poem, you know, say I see something you've written or something someone else has written, and it just makes me smile or think, and then that just makes your day better. And I just think that's a lovely gift
that you receive. You're putting it out there. I think the best thing, when I found romantic poetry on Twitter, it was like I discovered treasure. It's like men writing romantic poetry was like, they still do this?
But I think then, it's the same for them as it is for us, isn't it? It's not the done thing, yeah, you know. Now, decades pass when you'd have written a beautiful love poem and tied it up with ribbon and sent it, you know, via horse and carriage off to someone you're trying to woo. It was a bit more of the done thing, but it, you generally don't get that now. I don't think I've ever had a horse and carriage turn up at my door.
I know.
But, you know, and if then, anyone wants to, that's fine.
Yeah, it was just this amazing, incredible thing. I'm like, wow. And I talked about discovering it on early in my podcast even because, and that was before I was writing a lot of it. I actually had to start my Lost Darling Girl account because I was putting too much in my author account. There was too much emoting going on. And I was flooding my account and I some of it was getting personal and people were, are you okay? So I started.
I know. I really do feel bad though when that happens because I put up a couple that have been quite, you know, depressed. And then people just really going, I feel a bit like a fraud. I have to go, no, it's fine. I'm okay. In fact, it's more like if you don't hear from me, that I'm not great, as opposed to when I'm putting three or four poems out in a day.
And you're being dirty minded.
Well, that's not a big change.
Hans in a good mood is dangerous. He is the like flirtation on wheels, man. He's like he's been let loose, unleashed upon the world. I'm like, okay. She's like, oh, I made you blush. Like, no, you didn't. Yes, it did.
Can't tell.
You can't see me, but I've had him on the podcast a couple times, but he could hear me, so. Darn it.
It's bad when they can hear you blush.
They can. I don't. It's a. not every guy could do it, but man, you know what they.
No, but there are some that are very good at it.
A little bit too good. Oh, thank you. I'm going to go ahead and end this, but I thank you for being brave. I know you're like, what are we going to talk about? Like, just
well, wasn't that difficult, was it really?
No, so much to talk about.
No, thank you. I had a really lovely time, even though Hans is now putting rude words in the. Oh, I had a lovely time. Thank you for inviting me on.
Oh, thank you so much for coming. It's been wonderful. I can't wait to share. And it's been a great week talking to people. I wish I could do well. I like writing for a living, but this is awful fun too.
It is a lot of fun.
It is so much fun. Having talking to people from all over the world about stuff that I love. So you have a fantastic rest of your day, and
you have a fantastic rest of your night.
What time is it now? Is it? It's 5. Yeah. So I might write some before I go back to bed.
I was gonna say, go back to sleep, woman.
I don't know. Oh, okay.
All right. Thank you very much.
In the Twitter feed. Bye bye.
See you later. Bye bye.
Thank you, Hans, for coming in, and Shelly for coming back. And Shelly, I got your message, and oh my goodness, those pictures. We need to sleep, auntie, sleep. So I want to say thank you for coming in and just joining me for this. Wow, 10 people were in here chatting back and forth. You guys have a great day. I'll be sharing all these interviews all throughout the month. I actually have... I'm going to be on a podcast today with Six Sheets Red about 1 o'clock, I think. That might be my last one. I'm not sure, with Reggie. I need to double check, make sure. I might have another one tonight. I don't know. Oh, thank you, Tom, for reading with me, for just popping in. Good morning, Hans. Thank you, Secret. Oh, yeah. No problem, Reggie. I'm looking forward to it. Yeah. We had a moment. I feel like I had a moment. I had a moment with... poetry is so emotional for me, so hearing it read and reading it was like a moment. You guys have a great day, and I'll talk to you soon. Oh, don't forget, your story is important, and it is breaks boundaries internationally and through the world. Your passion, sharing your passion, can communicate to somebody in a tiny town in Africa where you never even get to go, but your words can go there. So share your words, be brave, step out. Your story is important. Have a great day.